The scripture today is from John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. John 19, 28 to 30. The death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you bow in prayer with me? Most merciful God, we ask that now you would open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what is written in your word, that we might take it into our heart and be born in you and experience the life that is the promise that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this because we know it is your will, and we pray it because it is also our will. Your will be done. Amen. Now, it can often seem like nothing ever gets finished, right? I mean, you go to sleep, you wake up, you make your bed. Then you go to sleep again, you wake up again, and you have to make your bed again. I mean, as long as we live, we will be making our beds. Well, at least most of us. And you know what? This is true of much more than just household chores, isn't it? I mean, 15 years ago, we built this building. We finished building this building so we could worship the Lord together in it. And it's a beautiful building, and it was very well built. But you know what? It's not going to stay finished. Things are going to wear out and break down and need to be fixed. And even if we do a really great job of fixing things, there will come a day when this building will be too worn out to fix. Lord willing, that will be a long time from now, right? But unless Jesus returns in the meantime, this building will one day crumble and cease to exist. It will not stay finished. And yet, in this world where nothing seems to stay finished, Jesus' last word from the cross, recorded in John's Gospel, is this: finished. It is finished. In fact, this is the clear emphasis of this passage. As Dale Bruner writes, the word "finished" occurs three times in this compact three-verse paragraph, and it is surely the evangelist's main point. And when Jesus uses the word "finished," he is not talking about simply making it through something difficult. It is not a sigh of relief on the part of Jesus saying, "At last my suffering is finished." As Bruce Milne comments, the word translated here as "finished" means finished in the sense of accomplishment. It is the same word used by Jesus in John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying to the Father and says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." Jesus is referring to an accomplishment, like making your bed or finishing a building project. He's referring to something that has been achieved. Yet the accomplishment that Jesus is referring to is one that will stay finished. This accomplishment will last. And we know this for certain because the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul and the author of the letter to the Hebrews were all inspired to write that what Jesus accomplished in his death on the cross was, in their words, once for all. It is finished once for all. What Jesus accomplished through his death on the cross will never need to be done again. It is finished, and it will stay finished. And this brings us to the question, what was finished? When Jesus died on the cross, what was accomplished? Now, this Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And Lent is the time of year that Christians have traditionally remembered Jesus' suffering on earth. The season lasts for 40 days, not counting Sundays, for those of you who will actually go to a calendar. And it is meant to remind us of the 40 days that Jesus spent alone in the desert, fasting and being tempted by the devil. Lent lasts all the way up until Easter, And therefore, it reaches its end or climax with Jesus suffering on the cross on Good Friday. And so it seemed good to me that we should spend our Sundays this year in Lent asking ourselves this question about what was finished on the cross. When Jesus went through all that suffering, what was he doing it for? So that's what we're going to do. Each sermon through the season in Lent is going to focus on trying to answer some part of the question, what was finished when Jesus died? What did he do? And the wonderful thing about John's recording of Jesus' death in his gospel is that he not only records Jesus' words, "It is finished," he also gives us the shortest answer to that question, to the question of what was finished. And the answer is this: everything. John chapter 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, Jesus said. Now, clearly there are limits to what John means when he says that Jesus knew that everything was now finished. The word "everything" here does not include tasks like making beds or building buildings. And you know what? It doesn't even include making the world the way God wants it to be. Clearly, there is still sin and death and suffering in the world, which are all things that were promised God will put an end to. What is meant here is that everything that God sent Jesus into the world to do was finished, accomplished when Jesus died on the cross. Everything. And before we move on to explore what some of those specific things might be, it is first important, I think, for us to stop and simply rest in the assurance of this word to us, that everything is finished. There is no more need for accomplishment, not on your part, not on my part, not on any other leader or other important person's part. All that is required for the whole plan of God to reach its end has been accomplished. It is finished. And this is what Jesus himself told us long before he went to the cross. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "The Son of Man," referring to himself, "the Son of Man must be lifted up," that is, crucified. Why? Well, he says, "so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Everything that needed to happen for us to receive eternal life through faith in Christ was finished, accomplished when Jesus died on the cross. There is nothing less for us to go out there and accomplish, to get this done. Jesus has already done it. In fact, we don't even need to know all of the hows and whys of Jesus' death on the cross to win eternal life. See, it's already been won for us. We are just being called to believe that his death is finished, has won it for us, and by faith it is ours. Believe that it is finished, and you are a new creation, born again by the Holy Spirit. So these words, I believe, first and foremost, are meant to give us peace. They're meant to calm us and say, don't be afraid. Don't panic. It's finished. And it will always stay finished. Simply trust that Jesus finished it, and you will live. That's the gospel, the good news. And our first job is always just to rest and receive that good news. That in Jesus Christ, everything is finished. We have eternal life. There is nothing more that we need to do. It's finished. So my brothers and sisters, may you rest in this knowledge, both now and always. For truly we need this knowledge in a world that says that there needs to be more done, right? Isn't that the message of the world, that something more needs to be done? We rest in the knowledge that no, Jesus Christ has finished what needs to be done on the cross. But knowing this, it's also true that God doesn't want us to stop with that knowledge. You see, faith in Jesus and his death on the cross is enough, but God wants us to know more than we need to know. Faith in Jesus Christ has set us free, absolutely, but God wants us to understand as much as we can about what it means to be free, what that freedom is that has been won. And how do we know he wants us to know this? Well, because after saying, knowing that everything had now been finished, John goes on to say in verse 28, that Jesus said what he said so that Scripture would be fulfilled. In other words, John goes on immediately to describe a specific example of what was finished on the cross, a specific case of this big word, everything. And so we ask the question, what was finished when Jesus died? And John's answer is everything, and here's a specific example. Jesus, in his death, fulfilled, or more literally, the word is actually finished, accomplished, Scripture. When Jesus died, one of the specific things he finished, what he accomplished, was the fulfillment of the prophecies spoken about him in the Old Testament. Jesus completed that. He accomplished it. So John himself makes it clear that we are to strive to know more than just the general answer of everything. We are to strive to understand some specifics about what was finished when Jesus died. In fact, the Apostle Paul claimed that his chief pursuit in life was to know Jesus, and specifically what he could know about Jesus through what was revealed on his death on the cross. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It is Jesus Christ and supremely his death on the cross that stands at the center of God's plan. And therefore, knowing Jesus and especially what he accomplished in his death on the cross is the most important knowledge we can ever know. It is vital to us. Now, we don't need to understand all of it in order to be saved. We just need to believe that it is enough for salvation. But we'd be fools if we stopped there, right? If we failed to try and understand as much as possible about what was finished when Jesus died. So when we pursue the question, what was finished, we find our rest in the word everything, but we don't stop there. Instead, we press on to learn as much as we can about what specifically was accomplished when Jesus died. So I'll pose the question one more time. What was finished when Jesus died? Well, more than we'll ever understand. There is more going on in Jesus' death than we can understand. I think this is part of the wisdom of Jesus' decision to say it is finished, in leaving it the subject undefined. The sum total of what Jesus accomplished on the cross goes beyond human understanding, but with caution, I believe that the specifics of what Jesus finished on the cross, those at least that have been revealed to us through Scripture, can fit under two broad categories that are helpful for us, that help us remember broadly what has Jesus accomplished on the cross. And those two broad categories are revelation and victory. Revelation and victory. That's what was accomplished by Jesus when he died on the cross. Now, this is not to say that there is no more revelation after Jesus' death. That is clearly not true because Scripture itself testifies that though we only see dimly now, one day we will see face to face. There is more revelation to come. In fact, in the end, we're told in the book of Revelation that we will even see God. And the same can be said about victory. There are still more victories to come after the victory that Jesus won through his death on the cross. There will come a day when the kingdom of this world will become 100% the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. But Jesus' death on the cross is the most brilliant revelation and the most decisive and important victory of all time. In a very real sense, every other revelation and victory flows out of this one greatest revelation and victory, out of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take these two headings in turn. First, revelation, and second, victory, as the answer to the question of what was finished when Jesus died. So first then, what was finished when Jesus died? The greatest revelation that ever has been or ever will be. Now, revelation is a word that simply means to uncover something, to pull back the covers. It is the removing of a barrier that keeps us from seeing things as they truly are. When a bride lifts up her veil, that is revelation. When we take an object and put it under a bright light so that we can see what it's truly like, that is revelation. And Jesus' death on the cross is the greatest revelation that has ever taken place. When Jesus died, the veil was lifted. When Jesus died, there was a great burst of light, and everything was exposed and seen for what it really is. And this revelation can be seen in at least five different ways. First, in Jesus' death, it is revealed that God is always faithful to his word in the Scriptures. As we've already read in verse 28, Jesus died so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Many, if not most, of the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament are about his death and the circumstances surrounding it. And when Jesus says the words, "I am thirsty," at the end of verse 28, they set in motion a chain of events that leads to the fulfillment of a prophecy found in Psalm 69, verse 21, which says, "They gave me vinegar for my thirst." The point being that if Jesus had not died in the exact way that he did, this prophecy and many others like it would not have been fulfilled. God would not have been faithful to his word. The incredible close fit between the words written in the Old Testament scripture and the actual events recorded in Jesus about Jesus' death in the New Testament is breathtaking, and it's breathtaking evidence of how perfectly faithful God is to every word he has spoken. In looking at Jesus' death on the cross, we have the most brilliant revelation that God is faithful not just in some of what he says, but in all of it. Jesus' death is a bright light revealing God's faithfulness to his word in Scripture. And this is the first revelation we see in his death on the cross. And the second is like it. Jesus' death on the cross revealed that Jesus is the one and only person worthy of receiving the promises that God gave in the Scriptures. You see, Jesus was alone, obedient to the God the Father in everything. And Paul marvels at the perfection of Jesus' obedience in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, where he writes, how Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even when it cost him great suffering in his very life, Jesus remained obedient to God the Father. And therefore, Jesus alone has kept the human side of the covenant that God made with the people of Israel. And as the only true keeper of the covenant, he is the only one who is truly worthy of receiving all the great blessings and rewards and promises that we read in the Old Testament. They all now belong to him. And he now is the one who is free to give them to any human being whom he so desires. And his method, of course, for that is, as we've already mentioned, is through faith. Therefore, the cross reveals that there is only one person who has what we all long to receive from God, and that person is Jesus Christ. And if we want that, we have to go to him for it. This is the second great revelation we see in the cross. And third, in the cross, in Jesus' death, is revealed the holiness of God. As Bruce Milne has written, at the cross we see as nowhere else how holy is the heart of God. That God should purpose this terrible deed as the means of dealing with sin in the world tells us, as nothing else ever could, that these sins matter to God terribly. All our human efforts to please him fall short. All our best moments themselves are vitiated by sin. We see at the cross how awful and implacable is the divine resistance and antipathy to sin and evil. We see at the cross how holy God is. Or to put this more simply, the very best human being who has ever lived is still guilty of enough sin to require the death of Jesus Christ in order to be made pure enough to enter into God's presence. There is no little sin. Our littlest sins still require the death of God's beloved Son. Jesus' death, therefore, reveals God's complete intolerance for any sin. His death reveals that he is holy, that he is perfectly good, and he will not compromise on that. And this is the third great revelation that we see when we look at Jesus on the cross. But greater than this revelation is the fact that Jesus' death also reveals the great depth of God's love for us. That God should choose to freely go through all the depths of suffering and death in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we might once again be in relationship with him, so that one day we might be completely healed and free from sin and death and suffering forevermore, that is the greatest revelation of love that has ever happened and that ever will happen. Jesus' death on the cross was the greatest act of love in all time, and it always will be. In Jesus' death, we see that the object of this act of love was you and me and all who have come before and after of us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for for you. This is the fourth great revelation, and the fifth is this, that when Jesus died on the cross, the depth of the failure of every human being was revealed. Jesus' death reveals us. It exposes us. In Jesus Christ, the world was given the one and only perfectly good and innocent human being. And we see this in the way that he was so attractive to people, right? And what did humankind do to this one good and innocent person? We murdered him. After ripping his flesh apart with whips and hanging him on a cross, no less. And the New Testament writers go to great lengths to show that everyone had a hand in it. Rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, enemies and the most loyal friend. Every human being had a hand in abandoning him and killing him. And the results would have been no different if Jesus had come in our day. His innocent blood is on our hands just as much as it is on theirs. But God revealed these things through Jesus' death not to condemn us, but to wake us up and to save us. We need to know these things. We need these revelations. We need to know that we have failed. And we need to know that despite our failure, Jesus did not fail, that he perfectly obeyed. And we need to know that God is faithful to fulfill every word of Scripture. We need to know that God is perfectly holy and that he will not tolerate sin. And we need to know that God loves us so much that he gave his one and only Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the only reason we know these things with any certainty is because Jesus died on the cross. So what was finished when Jesus died on the cross? The greatest revelation the world will ever see. In Jesus' death on the cross, we have truth given to us. We can see with brilliant clarity the faithfulness of God, the obedience of Christ, the holiness of God, the love of God, and the great shortcoming and need for God's help of all human beings. And that brings us to the second broad category of what was finished when Jesus died on the cross. Not just revelation, but also victory. You see, Jesus clearly saw his own death on the cross as the victory of God over the enemies of God. This was made clear in the Bible passage that was read to us last Sunday. In John chapter 12, verse 31, speaking of his approaching crucifixion, Jesus says, "Now the prince of this world will be driven out." When Jesus died, the devil ceased to be a prince. Through Jesus' death, the devil has lost the ability to control those who believe in Jesus. He can still tempt us, he can still try and frighten us, but he cannot control anymore. Through his death on the cross, Jesus took back the crown that was wrongfully taken from him by the devil in the Garden of Eden. Jesus' death on the cross was also Jesus' coronation. It was the day that he achieved supremacy over every enemy of God. The enemies are not yet destroyed, but through his death, Jesus has stripped them of their power, and he has begun to reign as king. And what are the spoils, the rewards, the things he won through this victory over the enemies of God, over the devil and sin and death and the world and the flesh? Well, the reward and the spoils is the kingdom of God. The great accomplishment of Jesus in the victory of the cross, the kingdom of God has been established, and more than this, it is guaranteed to be the only kingdom left standing in the end. From the viewpoint of victory, Jesus' death is kind of like D-Day in the Second World War. When the Allies established a beachhead, the war was not over, but victory at that point had become only a matter of time. And in a similar way, Jesus' death on the cross is the decisive victory in the battle between God and his enemies. And the kingdom of God is still not yet fully here, but its complete establishment is only a matter of time. It's only until the time that Jesus comes again. Because of Jesus' death, victory is guaranteed. And in speaking of this great victory of God through Jesus' death, the Bible uses many great metaphors to describe how Jesus' death achieved this victory. When the biblical authors use words like justified and redeemed and reconciled, They are describing some of the many ways that Jesus' death achieved this great victory over enemies like sin, death, and the devil. And over the next three Sundays, we are going to take a closer look at these metaphors that tell us the specifics of how Jesus' death achieved victory over the enemies of God. We will look at what is meant when we're told that through Jesus' death, we've been justified, and we've been redeemed, and we've been reconciled. But for today, I want us to simply rest in the knowledge that we learned from John, and that is this. What was finished when Jesus died on the cross? Everything. Everything is finished. There is nothing more we need to be saved except for trust in Jesus. But if we're wise, of course, we will seek to understand more. For in searching out this more, we will see more clearly and rejoice more greatly in this good news. For as we press the question, what was finished, we will learn more and more about the greatest revelation and victory that has ever taken place and ever will take place. We will learn what it means more that everything is finished. And the more we understand that, the more everything else makes sense. By faith in Christ, we are free. And in this time of Lent, may God teach us to learn more about what it means to be free, that we might live in that freedom and enjoy that freedom. May we understand more of what Jesus finished when he died on the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is finished. And we thank you especially that your own Son, Jesus Christ, declared it so. And Lord, we trust that he speaks the truth. That there is no effort needed on our part in order to secure our salvation. But that you still call us to more. Not out of need, but because you want us to share in the joy of the freedom that has been won by your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, as we look this season of Lent, at the many ways that Jesus won us victory on the cross, we pray that the ultimate end would not be lost to us, that we would not miss out on experiencing that freedom and joy for ourselves, the very thing which Jesus opened up for us when he died on the cross. So, Lord, we pray that you would now help us to rest in this knowledge that everything is finished. Amen.